Yud Gimel Elul, Friday the 24th of August, Rabbi Meir Trepp, in Yonah de Rosh Hashanah.
Of Start the Day for giving me this valuable opportunity to share with you some Divrei Torah in connection with the forthcoming Rosh Hashanah. Chazal advises a number of ways how to be Zoicha Bedin on Rosh Hashanah. In this year, Yes Hashem, we will discuss one of these. But before we come to that, we should point out that what is most surprising is that if you look into the Torah, into the Chumash, you will not find any mention of Rosh Hashanah being a Yom HaDin. In the parashiyos dealing with the Chagim, the Yom Tov of Rosh Hashanah is referred to as Yom Teruah Yelochem, a day of sounding the shofar. No reference to the awesome significance of this day as a day of Din for the Osid, for the future. True, the central mitzvah of Rosh Hashanah is the shofar, and as Rav Sadia Gaon tells us, he gives actually 10 tamim for the mitzvah of tkiyas shofar, but amongst the tamim that he gives, he says this mitzvah is very much connected with the essential theme of Rosh Hashanah, which is the sovereignty of Hashem over the entire world. Rosh Hashanah marks the anniversary of the day that Hashem simultaneously created and became ruler of the universe. And the tefillos of the day are filled with references to Hashem as King, and with tefillos longing for the day when His mastery and His majesty will be acknowledged by all. So according to Rav Sadia Gaon, we blow the shofar to proclaim, as it were, the coronation of Hashem and to herald His kingship, as is customary, to sound the trumpets at the coronation of a new king. But there is no mention of Rosh Hashanah in the Chumash as a Yom HaDin. However, tucked away in a parasha that has absolutely, on the surface, no connection to Rosh Hashanah, we find a remes, a hint, to Rosh Hashanah being the Yom HaDin. Moshe Rabbeinu is extolling the milas, the virtues of Eretz Yisrael. כי הארץ אשר אטבו שמה לרשתו לך ארץ מצרים היא אשר יצאו משם אשר תזר זרחו ושקיסו ורקוחו כגן היורק בארץ אשר אתם עוברים שמה לרשתו ארץ הורים בוקויס למטר השמיים תשתה מים ארץ אשר השם אלוקיך דורש עושו תמיד עיני השם אלוקיך בו מראשית השנה ועד אחרית השנה. Moshe Rabbeinu tells Klal Yisrael about to enter Eretz Yisrael that it is a country that Hashem seeks out. His eyes are always upon it from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. The question is, if the eyes of Hashem are always upon it, why is it necessary to say from the beginning of the year to the end of the year? Tomid means always, and always means always. Why did the Torah have to say from the beginning of the year to the end of the year? So Rashi quotes, which is a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Meireshis Shana, Meirosh Hashanah Nidoin Mayehei B'Soifo. From Rosh Hashanah it is judged what is going to transpire at the end. That is Akev. Akev. So here we have a reference to Rosh Hashanah as a day of din. Which begs the question, why is the Torah Maranas the Yom HaDin in the context of Eretz Yisrael? Why here? So let us go back a little bit. Let us go back to the Parsha of the Meraglim. In Parsha Shlach Lecha. The question is what exactly did the Meraglim do wrong? The Ramban asked this question. He says, Moshe Rabbeinu asked them to see whether it's Hashmeino Hiim Raza. So they answered, Shmeino, Agam Zavas Cholo Batvashi. He asked them to see, Hayesh Bo Eitz Imayin. They answered, Zepirio. Everything they said was true. And everything they answered was regarding what they were commanded to find out. And it was upon them to say, Sha'om Hayosha Valeo Oz, the people there are powerful. Va'orim Batsurais, the cities are fortified. Because they have to come back with a true report, a true description of what they were asked to ascertain. Kichain Tziva Oysom, Hachozoku Arofa, Habamachanim in Bemitzorim. So the Ramban answers, he says that Rishas was using the word Ephes, Ephes, Kiyazoam. He said Ephes denotes something negative. It's impossible, impossible for us to achieve, to conquer Eretz Yisrael. They said, true, Shmeino, Begam Zobas Cholav Advash, Ba'pri Toiv. I will eat Efshel Lov Eilem. But we can't win. We can't conquer the land. Ki Az Ha'am, Vahorim Batsuras Gedolus Ma'id. The people are powerful. The cities are exceedingly fortified. Vagam Yelide Anok, the giants Re'inu Shom. Va'oid, Vamro'id, Amolek Yeshiv, Eretz HaNegev, etc. We can't win. However, the Shalach HaKadosh gives a different answer to the mistake of the Meraglim. The Shalach HaKadosh explains that Moshe Rabbeinu knew that they would find fortified cities inhabited by powerful giants. But the appropriate response would be, let me read out the Shalach HaKadosh. Okay. Yes. Kavonas Hashem Yisborach Moshe Rabbeinu b'shiluach hamaraglim hoiso. Loi rak sheyedavchu greida majuro. Not simply just to come back and report what they saw, but they should come back and give Klal Yisrael a chizuk in emuna ubitochen b'yicholtoi Yisborach. They should come back, as it were, with a pep talk, with a musa, and say, true, al piderach hateva, it's impossible, but Hashem's there. Halichosam hoiso adaraba, kedeshi yiru, that they should see, she'i efsha lichboish b'li azoram Hashem Yisborach. It's taka, impossible, to conquer this country without Hashem's help. And they should think, come back and say, Shashem hu noisen koyach, the Ribbono Shel Olam gives koyach, he will defeat the enemy miraculously. As Kolev said, Olay na le'afilu b'shamayim. And he said, in summary, says the Shlach HaKadosh, Ki avkavonas Hashem Yisborach bishlichus hamaraglim, the intention of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in sending the spies, gam das Moshe Rabbeinu levashalem hayo, kedei, in order, sheyiru, that Klal Yisrael should see, or the spies should see and report back to Klal Yisrael, shei efsha lichvosh b'teva, that it's impossible, naturally, b'derech ha'teva, to conquer, Rak Yashem Yisborach hu anoisen koyach, but it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu who gives the koyach, and everything will be al pi nes. V'lo Yisborach HaKoyach v'hagvura. That's the Shlo HaKadosh. Their mission was to present the facts along with a pep talk based on deep emunah in Hashem. To come back and remind Klal Yisrael that just as Hashem had saved them b'derech nes at Kriyas Yamsuf, His presence there in Eretz Yisrael would negate the military advantage of the inhabitants of Canaan. In other words, the purpose in sending the Meraglim was to see that in fact they don't stand a chance with natural means to conquer the country. But their victory lies in the hands of Hashem, who will deliver the enemy into their hands, b'derech nes. So the mission of the Meraglim was to return and to fire Klal Yisrael with a powerful emunah and bitochen in Hashem, that He will lead them to victory. And in fact, the greatest people of each tribe, the cream of the crop, were chosen for this sublime task to come and give this chizuk in emunah. Their mistake was to come back with just a purely military analysis of the situation and not to present the view of the Torah that Yidden have nothing to fear, but Hashem will be fighting for them. However, Hagaon HaTzadik Rav Moshe Shapira Zatzal asks how the Shlo HaKadosh could suggest such a mahalach. He poses the following question on the Shlo's analysis. We have a principle that we should not place ourselves in circumstances in which we will be tempted to sin. Purposely pick a fight with the Yetzer Hara. Avoid exposing yourself to risks, ruchnistic or spiritual risks. Surely it would have been far safer not to expose Klal Yisrael to a first-hand report from the Meraglim, clearly indicating the impossible odds of victory in a battle against the nations of Canaan. Not everyone is able to accept a report like this just because it comes along with a musa, with a musa drosha, with a pep talk. Yes, we can't win, but don't worry, Hashem will help. Sending the spies amounted to a tremendous nisuyan of emunah, which could plunge them into yiyush. The danger is they could give up hope straight away. You hear such impossible odds of winning that there's a good chance that you'll be miyayish and Klal Yisrael will. Why did Moshe have to send the spies and expose Klal Yisrael to the grave risk of losing their emunah and bitochen in the fact that Hashem would help them to conquer the country? So Rav Moshe Shapira Zatzal answers a yesoid, which is a yesoid which is negeya ad hayoy maseh. He answers that although in all other areas of life we should avoid taking spiritual risks as much as possible, don't put oneself into a situation of nisoyen, but when it came to acquiring the country of Eretz Yisroel, there was a need to clearly spell out a precondition. There is no way to live in Eretz Yisroel under natural circumstances. Without Hashem's presence, Israel, the country of Eretz Yisroel, is not inhabitable. And this lesson, he says, is spelt out in the pasuk which we quoted. Eretz Asher Hashem Elokecha Doyresh Oysa Tomid Tomid Einei Hashem Elokecha Ba Mereshis Hashana Vat Achris Shana. This country has a supernatural existence. Moshe Rabbeinu knew that knowledge of this fact, that Eretz Yisrael, you can only survive there with the knowledge that Eretz Yisrael is toli b'derech nes, on Hashem Yisborach hashgocha tomid. That fact was a crucial factor in being worthy to enter Eretz Yisrael and live there. If Klal Yisrael did not enter the land with that attitude, they wouldn't last. They wouldn't last there. Rather than sweep this unique quality of Eretz Yisrael under the rug, Moshe sent the spies to find out for themselves just how unnatural the battle to conquer the land would have to be. Because that was a crucial prerequisite in acquiring Eretz Yisrael. Unfortunately, the Meraglim did not complete their task properly, delivered only the raw facts and not the analysis that they were meant to deliver. And this is something we see through history about Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Yisachar Fran Shlita brings an example. As Eretz Yisrael was being destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar and his army, Hashem Yisborach instructed Yirmiyahu HaNavi to purchase land and put the deeds in a safe place. Who buys real estate when values are plummeting and in a few short years there will be no Yidden left in the country? It depends which land. That logic would hold true for all other countries in the world. When house prices go down throughout the natural world, there's no reason to purchase real estate until the market bottoms out. But Eretz Yisrael is different. Since Hashem promises the land to us, we'll ultimately have it back. To share just one example, when Rommel Yemach Shemoi, known as the devil, the desert fox, was already deep into Africa and advancing steadily with his army towards Eretz Yisrael, the Ponovitcher Rav, Zecher Tzadik Livrocha, Rav Yosef Shleimer Kahaneman, borrowed some money to buy a parcel of land in Bnei Barak. To fill you in with the background to this story, let me give you a few details which may not be known. In 1940, the Ponovitcher Rav set out from Vilna to the United States on a mission from the Lithuanian government with an objective to enlist help for the Jewish refugees who had fled to Lithuania. En route, he came to Eretz Yisrael, and while there, the Lithuanian government ceased to exist. The Ponovitcher Rav's diplomatic passport was now meaningless, and there was no way he could continue on to the United States, nor could he return to Lithuania. The Ponovitcher Rav's miraculous escape from the Nazis was an example of Hashem setting a safety net in place before delivering the blow. Makdim refua lemakah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought the Ponovitcher Rav to Eretz Yisrael because with the Ponovitcher Rav's indomitable strength and tremendous heart, he was singularly capable of rebuilding the yeshiva world and centers of Torah from scratch. Without a penny in his pocket, with no organized plan, with no financial backing, he turned the dream of a yeshiva into reality. His fiery love of Torah and his unshakable trust in Hashem were the foundations upon which the yeshiva was built. A short while after he arrived in Eretz Yisrael, the Ponovitcher Rav visited Rabbi Yaakov Halperin in the then settlement of Bnei Barak as part of his efforts to obtain a certificate which would allow him to remain in Eretz Yisrael. As he stood at the door of Rabbi Halperin, the hill rising from the center of Zichron Meir caught his eye. "Ooh, that hill would be a fitting place for yeshiva," he said. He said to his host, who happened to be the owner of the hill. So Rabbi Yaakov Halperin said immediately he'd be willing to sell the hill to the Ponovitcher Rav at a nominal price, on one condition, that construction of the yeshiva begin within the year. The Rav didn't think twice. He signed the agreement that very day. Despite the discount that he extended, a sizable sum was still required, and the Ponovitcher Rav was a penniless refugee and homeless to boot. Nevertheless, his plans of establishing a yeshiva filled his entire existence, and he promised to pay the entire sum without a moment's hesitation. People thought he'd lost his mind. People thought the Ponovitcher Rav Zatzal was meshuggah. What would be the point of buying land now when it would fall shortly to the Nazis, who would undoubtedly proceed to exterminate Chas v'Sholom all the Jews of Eretz Yisrael as they did in Europe? If the British, running the country under the UN mandate, were already burning all their classified documents, who in their right mind would buy land to build a yeshiva? So the Ponovitcher Rav explained that not every prophecy was recorded in the Navi, in Tanakh. Only those that had some message for the future were recorded. In that case, he said, the prophecy in which Hashem told Yirmiyahu to buy land when the destruction of the country is imminent holds true throughout the generations. The Ponovitcher Rav built his Mahalach on the Navi, the Navua to Yirmiyahu. And as we all know, the Rav was proven correct, and in an astonishing campaign, Field Marshal Montgomery defeated Rommel at El Alamein, several hundred kilometers short of Eretz Yisrael. Which now brings us back to Rosh Hashanah. We mentioned earlier that in that very pasuk, Eretz Asher Hashem Elokecha Dorish Oisa, that pasuk, we have a reference to Rosh Hashanah as a day of din. There's a chazal in Rosh Hashanah on that very same, on that very pasuk. The Gemara says, on that pasuk, V'omer Rav Yitzchak, kol shana sh'rosha mitchilasa. Any year which is poor at the beginning, mis asheres b'soifo, will be proper, prosperous at the end. Shenema me'reishis shana. The word reishis is written without an aleph. Loshen rosh. Me'roshis ksiv. That achris. Soifo sh'yesh lo achris. It's a soif, an end, which will have Hatzlocha, which will have prosperity. Rashi explains, what does it mean? The year is poor at the beginning. So Rashi says, She Yisrael oisin atzmon roshin b'Rosh Hashanah. Klal Yisrael make themselves out like poor people on Rosh Hashanah. Ledaber tachnunim utfila. To plead with Hashem, to put forward supplications to Hashem Yisbarak, Tfilis. Ke'inyin chenema tachnunim yedaber rosh. Like a poor man who hasn't had something to eat for days on end, and he knocks on the door and he begs for some food. Please, give me some food, help me. That's how we are on Rosh Hashanah. Klal Yisrael behaves on Rosh Hashanah like a pauper, beseeching Hashem like a man pleading for bread. Are you supposed to pretend that you are a poor man? Stand there in front of Hashem Yisborach and put on an act? That certainly can't be the kavanah of Chazal. Hagoyim HaTzadik Reb Chaim Friedlander, the Mashiach of Ponovitch Yeshiva, explains this cryptic message with a brilliant insight. He explains it in a letter which he wrote from a hospital bed in New York where he was undergoing treatment. And he says, Rabbi Yitzchok is here giving us an eitzah, how to be zeicha to a gzar din of shefa bracha. What does it mean? He says, Rabbi Yitzchok is giving us a derech in the avoida of Rosh Hashanah. A person has to recognize on Rosh Hashanah that all his requirements in the coming year, day by day, are decreed on this very day of Rosh Hashanah. And not just that, Kerega ein loy klum. At the moment, he has nothing. Everything is back to the drawing board. V'tzorich lekabel lesakoyl michodosh. He has to receive everything from Hashem from scratch. Asks Reb Chaim Friedlander, what do you mean? This yid, he's standing on Rosh Hashanah. Baruch Hashem, he has a steady income. He has a solid parnasa. He's got assets locked away securely. He has kishreinus. He has talents. He has connections. He has good friends. He's got a mishpacha. He's got a home. How can this man stand lifneak on Kodesh on Rosh Hashanah like a poor man who has nothing? What's going on here? Is he acting? Answers Reb Chaim Friedlander, El Ha'odom Ledas, a person has to know, Shekol Ma Sheyesh Loi, whatever he has at any given time, Hu Rak Berotzen Haboirei Yisborach, is purely because Hashem wants it that he has it. V'ad Kama Sheboirei Roitza, in as much as the Hashem Yisborach wants it, to him to have it, Yesh Loi. And if it's not the Rotzen Hashem, he can chas v'sholem lose it overnight. From one second to the next. either he can lose what he's got, or what he's got he can't utilize because of circumstances, because of health or tragedy, chas v'shalom. On Rosh Hashanah, it's decreed upon a person for the coming year that what he will have is decreed. Everything that he's going to have will be decreed. And how much he'll be able to utilize what he's got, how much it will help him what he's got, everything is decreed. Every single facet, day by day. So now, on Rosh Hashanah, he has to receive from Hashem Yisbarach everything mechadosh, from scratch. And the fact is, the absolute fact is, that on Rosh Hashanah, he's standing lifnei kisei hadin, as an oni who has nothing. And everything which he's worked, he has what he's going to have. Everything is entirely toli b'chastei Hashem. He and whatever he owns, whatever he has, absolutely everything. Therefore, such a person will stand in front of Hashem Yisbarach like that, like the poor man who stands in front of the usher's door and is begging for a morsel of food. Because he knows that he needs Hashem's help desperately. If a person recognizes at the beginning of the year, Mereshis Shana, that it's a new beginning, and he realizes that he is a Rosh, and he has to receive everything from scratch, for every coming day of the following, of the new year, then he will be Zoicha to an Achris Teiva, to a Gzar Din Shalchein B'chesed. This is the Eitzah of Rabbi Yitzchok in the Gemara. It's a Mahalach in Avodas Hashem, Avodas Rosh Hashanah, the Avodah of Yom Adin, a Mahalach in Avodas Adin, and as much as a person recognizes and understands, and especially on Rosh Hashanah, that our lives are totally in the hands of Hashem Yisbarach, and we thank Hashem for all the miracles, for all the chasodim that he is doing to us, in as much as we recognize that, and as much as we're grateful to Hashem, and as much as we're makir toiv, then in that very same middah, we'll be zoicha, that he will decree upon us gzeiras toivas Rosh Hashanah, and he'll be choyser chayim l'chol chay. If so, we can now answer our question. If you'll just allow me one, just a minute, I'll be finished. We can now answer our question, why the Torah juxtaposes the judgment, the din of Rosh Hashanah, with Eretz Yisrael. As we have learned, we only acquire the land of Israel, Eretz Yisrael, with the recognition that we are totally dependent on God, on Hashem Yisbarach. Over the last 10 years, thousands of missiles have been fired against Eretz Yisrael. Thousands of missiles. And where do they land? In open places. Thousands of miracles. Every missile is a miracle. An Arab said to the American press, their God changes the direction of the missile in midair. There was an occasion when a missile was coming towards the Azrieli towers in Tel Aviv, the two tall towers. I don't know how many people work or live in those towers. The Iron Dome sent two missiles to bring those down, and they failed. Immediately, all the emergency services were called because there was a catastrophe. That missile was aiming towards these huge towers in Eretz Yisrael. All of a sudden, a wind came, and blew this missile off course. And they shouted, Yesh Elokim. For that reason, listen, we see that we're dependent Eretz Yisrael. We can only acquire Eretz Yisrael with the condition that we're totally dependent on Hashem. So for that reason, Moshe Rabbeinu tells Klal Yisrael when they're about to enter Eretz Yisrael, he says to them, he tells them, Shema Yisrael, Atam Oivrim Esayardim Hanoboy Loreshes Goyim Gedoylim Batsumi Mimekom. He tells them, you're going there, mightier nations than you, Orim Gedoylim Subtsuras Bashamayim, Am Godul Varom Bnei Anokim. Why is he telling them all this? He's telling them all this because that is the way you acquire Eretz Yisrael. In the same vein, Rosh Hashanah is all about recognizing that we are entirely in Hashem's hands. We stand before Him on this day literally as a penniless pauper. But it's this very recognition that will bring us all in Mirza Hashem a verdict for Hashanah Tova, for ourselves and all our families, and for all Klal Yisrael. Amen. 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 Amen.